So we continue this morning with our series in the letters from Paul to Timothy. And this morning we are in 2 Timothy chapters 3 and 4. And Paul tells us this morning that anyone who wants to live all out for Christ in this world, in this time, is in for a lot of trouble. Yeah, I know, those aren't comforting words for a Sunday morning, but there's simply no getting around it. There are those in the world, false teachers, false prophets, who continue to exploit the faith. And the thing is that they're just as deceived themselves as they are deceivers to the people that they lead astray. And as long as they're out there, people will continue to be led down the wrong path. And Paul says we have to guard ourselves against such false teachers. Here's what he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture, Paul says, is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. And then he says, as he continues in the fourth chapter, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming, Paul says, when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. I like that phrase, but as for you, Paul says. In other words, don't worry about what the world's doing. You do you. Don't let those false teachers and false prophets, those deceivers, don't let them influence you. Stick with what you've learned and you've believed, being sure of the integrity of the teachers and pastors who have taught you from the scriptures. That's why we read scripture here at Countryside. That's why we preach from the scriptures. Paul tells us there's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of Scripture, Paul says, is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellious spirits. Do you have one of those? I do. Correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. He says, through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the things God has for us to do. I like that. What he's telling us is, if you are in the Word, if you are in the Bible, studying it daily, if you study God's Word, if you attend church regularly and listen to sound biblical teaching, I'd like to think that that's what you get here. If you are into the Wednesday night Bible study, for example, which takes place at 6 o'clock. We have dinner and then there's the Bible study at 6:30. It's not a commercial. It is. If you're into that, all of that that I've mentioned, then you will be equipped to recognize when you are being given false, deceptive teaching. You'll know it when you hear it, because you have trained your heart and your mind to recognize sound biblical teaching. If you study the truth, then you'll recognize a false prophet when you hear one. That's important. Paul says, I can't impress this on you strongly enough. God is looking over your shoulder. Christ himself is the judge with the final say on everyone living and dead. And Paul says he's about to break into the open with his reign and his rule. It's literally right on the verge. So Paul says, proclaim the message with intensity. Keep on your watch. Challenge, warn, and urge people. Don't ever quit. And then he says, just keep it simple. Just keep it simple. It's hard for us to keep the gospel message simple. We try to make such an obstacle of it. We try to make such a labor of it. And Paul's saying, just keep it simple. You have to keep the message simple and straightforward. It's not complicated, even though sometimes people make it complicated. And Paul warns us that there's a time coming when people will reject the truth. They will reject sound doctrine. And I'm here to tell you that that time is now. Sound doctrine, sound biblical teaching gives light and truth and hope to those who are willing to receive it. But to those people who are all about self, those who have hardened their hearts to Jesus as Lord, to those people, sound doctrine causes them discomfort. It causes them inner angst, anxiousness, nervousness. It wrenches their insides. They exist in inner turmoil because their self-righteousness and self-importance are in conflict with the true person that God created them to be. Can you imagine walking around, existing in your daily life in constant conflict, inner turmoil with the way that God intended you to be? They hear biblical truth and it flies in the face of their narcissistic belief system, their all about me philosophy of life, and they reject the truth because it doesn't tickle their ears or tickle their fancy. It doesn't appeal to their lifestyle. I think all of us know folks who are trapped in this particular brand of life. They may know of Jesus, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus. They have things that they'd rather do than spend their time devoted to the Christian way of life. But Paul says, but you, keep your eye on what you're doing. Accept the hard times along with the good. Keep the message alive. Do a thorough job as God's servant. Why does he ask that of Timothy and why does he ask that of us? Well, our passage from Jeremiah tells us why. It says, the days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of humans and the seed of animals. And just as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring evil, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But all shall die for their own sins. The teeth of everyone who eats sour grapes shall be set on edge. What's all this sour grapes talk? Jeremiah is saying that we have to be in the Word and we have to proclaim the gospel because the time is coming when each individual will be held accountable for their own sin. It's a one-on-one relationship or not. Each individual is accountable. There's individual accountability for sin. There's individual retribution for sin. We can't blame our individual sin on those who came before us. It's on each of us alone. And that's why keeping our eye on what we're doing, as Paul tells us, is so important. That's why knowing the truth and proclaiming it, learning it, teaching it, all those things are so important, because the way out of our individual retribution is only by the blood of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for the sins of the world. There's no other way out. He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life, and anyone who tells you otherwise is a false teacher. It's that simple. And then Jeremiah talks about this new covenant that God is bringing to the people of Israel. And by the way, He's bringing it even now to the people of the world. And we are the messengers of the covenant. But He says, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt. A covenant that they broke, even though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more." See, Jeremiah, centuries before Christ appears as Messiah, as God in the flesh, talks about the new covenant that God will make with His people. And it won't be the kind of covenant that's carved into stone tablets and carried around in an ark. It won't be the kind of covenant that can be broken by the fickleness and the frailty of humans. No, this covenant is different. It will be put within each believer. It will be written on their hearts. God says, "I will be their God and they will be my people." And in the kingdom of God, there will no longer be the need to teach people about God, because they will know God personally. And God will wipe the sin slate clean. And He'll forgive our sins, and He won't even ever remember them. Now, we like to hang on to them, don't we? But the second you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, those sins are gone as far as God's concerned. If God can forgive you, who are you to hang on to it? Let it go. And so as we wrap up the message this morning, I want to impress on each of you what we've been discussing these many weeks in the letters from Paul to Timothy. Our mission as the body of Christ, as the church, is to be missional. The prophet Jeremiah reminds us that as believers, the Word of God is written on our hearts. We're hardwired to be Christians. And this separates us in a very holy way from the rest of humanity. The rest of humanity who perceives God's law only from the perspective of conscience. And then only when they choose to follow their conscience and not their self-centeredness. See, God's law is written on our hearts, and because it's written within us, it is now our nature to be responsive to the Missio Dei, the sending out of God. Our missions and our ministry outreach here have to be within the missional mindset, not a weekend project, but a daily lifestyle. We can't rest and be satisfied with simply being just another of a long row of churches in Splendora. Rather, we have to be the church, the body of Christ in motion throughout this community. You see the difference? We can't just open our doors every Sunday and say, come on in. We're open. How do we be the body of Christ in motion? Well, for starters, when we feed the hungry, we have to feed them spiritually as well as physically. That's why we have people praying with the people that come into Food Pantry. When we give gifts to our kids, our Christmas angels, we also give them the gift of experiencing the living Christ. We have to be out there building relationships with the unchurched so that when we eventually get around to feeling comfortable enough to invite them to church or to Bible study, we're inviting them as a friend and not as someone with whom we have no relationship. Think about it. Would you accept an invitation to go to a family reunion if you weren't in the family? Probably not. You'd feel out of place. People that aren't in the family of God don't accept invitations to the family reunion every Sunday. But when we build a relationship with those who aren't churched, and invite them after we have a relationship, they're more likely to trust. They're more likely to accept. This is not an instantaneous process. Building relationships, building trust with people who are unchurched is the only way to bring them into the family of God. God is written on our hearts so that we would yearn for Him. Yearn for the knowledge of Him. Yearn for the truth. Yearn to learn more about who He is and by extension learn more about who He created us to be and what He created us to do in His kingdom. And so my prayer for each of you this morning, my prayer for this assembly of the body of Christ is that the word written on your hearts would move you to respond to God's sending in such a mighty way that this community would be drawn to Him by the light and the life that's shining through you. May God breathe that life into each of you today. And write it on your hearts. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand and recite the Apostles' Creed.